Distortion Productions and Electronic Saviors are proud to present the first limited edition EP in the Respect the Prime series, Constructed Cold. Each of the six tracks were inspired by stories from Transformers comics, from the title track Constructed Cold by Panic Lift featuring Red Locust, to Thoughtform's Vince DiCola-inspired take on the Empyrean Suite. The EP will be available at TFCon from October 26th through 28th and online from distortionprod.com. Proceeds from the album will be donated to cancer research.
Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers Optimus Prime Issue 23. We get some first impressions of the new Transformers trading card game, and Travis Knight writes a letter to Transformers fans. Today is Friday, October 5th, 2018, and this is episode 97 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that just saw the Transformers animated movie in the theater and can't wait for the sequel. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo, shit, what are we going to do now?
Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we start off with donations. We've got a few this week. Thank you to Ellie, the donator. We appreciate your increase of your pledge. That's always welcome.
Wait a minute. You can say that name in this show, but you can't say that name in the other show?
Nope.
Oh, God.
And I noticed that someone even modified it to say donor in our doc here.
It's not Charles, someone. It was me.
Charles, you're growing as a person.
Not really. Thank you, Ellie. I'm sure you heard the discussion on the main transmission show, but we appreciate it. Also to Brad, good friend of the show, Brad increased his pledge to... Or I shouldn't say the number. Thank you, Brad, for increasing your pledge, becoming a duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions podcast. That's always awesome. And we have a brand new Donatrion. That's Joshua, who also is coming in at the duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions podcast level. You guys are awesome. We really appreciate it. And for everyone who is now a Donatrion, either on PayPal or on Patreon, we've got a new Transmissions merchandise store at TeePublic. And for all of our Donatrions, they're getting another special discount there. So, Jeremy, why don't you tell us about this new store?
Yeah, well, the store will be available for everybody. But we have a special code that we're going to be giving to Donatrions for a big discount. And... We have our Tape Man design, the college design that is too hot for Spreadshirt, and just a generic logo design. We're looking to add some more stuff, but TeePublic seems to be really cool. They have really good prices, a wide variety of things that you could put the design on. Even Yoshi, this one you might like. You can get actual notebooks, either lined or unlined, with the logo or the design on the front.
Ooh!
So figure that's up your alley. You can get phone covers or cases. You can even get a tapestry if you want to buy a tapestry with our logo or something. You can get that from TeePublic, and I think that's just awesome.
It's the perfect accessory for when Game of Thrones starts back up.
Yes. So check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes, and eventually we'll be changing the link on our website to go there. I'm looking forward to seeing what other stuff we can put up there. We also, with TeePublic, we can add other designs that are already on there to our store and get a smaller cut of that. And we might, if we find some interesting Transformers-related designs across the store, we might add those to ours as well.
All right, so check out that new merchandise. All right, let's get started with some comics news. So just a little announcement from Japan. We've got a pack-in comic with the, or I don't know if it's just a digital comic with the release of Blue Big Convoy. This is the Japanese exclusive figure. This is the figure that turns into the Beast Wars figure that turns into a woolly mammoth. And they have put out a comic, a manga that comes with this this figure. It's not translated from Japanese, so not really sure what's going on. But Big Convoy is working with Straxis, and they're fighting something. Looks kind of like a, I don't know.
Let's go with robot.
Well, they're fighting other stuff. I don't know, energy stuff. Demons or whatever, but it looks cool. The art is good. Is this also Hayato Sakamoto? It might be, but yeah, check it out. We've got a link. If you're gonna pick up Big Blue or Blue Big Convoy from the eHobby Japanese store, you can get this comic.
It's a good figure. So, yeah.
Yep. All right, slim pickings for comics news this week, so let's go right into our comic review.
Transmissions wouldn't be what it is today without the awesome support of our listeners. If you'd like to support our shows and enjoy the exclusive benefits that our donors get, please visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. We are looking at Optimus Prime number 23 today, and this is written by John Barber. The art is by Priscilla Tramontano. Colors by Josh Burcham, letters by Tom B. Long. Editor is David Mariette, and publisher is Greg Goldstein. There are three covers. Cover A has the Junkions and the Sharktacons having a swimmingly good time, and this is by Keizama and Josh Burcham. Cover B has the Earth colonists that are on the outs with Optimus now. This is by Priscilla Tramontano, and the retailer incentive is just the line art for cover A. Daryl, start with you. Which one of these do you like?
Well, the covers, I like cover A, Kate Zama's cover, probably the most. And honestly, when I was in the store, I confused cover B with Casey Collar's cover. I thought Casey had done it, but obviously it says right here, Priscilla Tramontano. So, yeah. Honestly, I think I like Keizama's better.
Okay, well, Yoshi, what about you?
Keizama's color, and or Keizama's cover, and I do like Josh's coloring on it. Cool. But why is the issue number not in the top left? Tom B. Long.
Well, I think obviously in this one it's because that spot is part of the O in Optimus. He would have to shrink down that font and move it over a little bit.
Yeah, if I didn't want to do a full day's work, I wouldn't bother either.
The level of intensity is escalating here. expect a comic book nobody follow-up strip.
All right, well, Charles, what about you?
I am also going to go with cover A, the colored Keizama cover. I really like that image. And yeah, the, what's her name? Rummage? And,
Rummage.
And her... Rekgar, the head of Rekgar, still just a head. And the Sharktacons, too. The Sharktacons look pretty cool in the background. So, yeah, I like it.
All right. Well, I will make it unanimous. I think that's my favorite cover out of the two. And Kay can really make some scary looking Sharktacons. On into the story, and I will preface this with it is a bit of a mess due to my own time this week. Do a brief summary and then just talk about the book a bit. It starts with 6 months ago on the colony division, where the natives that were there even before the Cybertronians, they were being told the story of their world before the Titan landed, where it was lush and green, and then the Cybertronians ruined it as they remade the world to suit their own needs. And then it jumps to Earth, where Spike is talking to an imprisoned Jazz, and kind of reminding him that he once had a similar conversation with Optimus when Optimus was a prisoner, and then brought up Jazz's incident killing a human. Outside, Flint is arguing with Mainframe and Marissa and the Dinobots about the Cybertronians on Earth. And Flint's kind of against the Cybertronians, and his arguments are confirmed when Skylink appears and the colonists leap out, intent on rescuing Jazz. Slag, Swoop, and Strafe try and defend them while Marissa's calling Thundercracker for some help. And then we see a flashback from Slide about her memories of Division, because that was the world she came from. And in her mind, they saved the natives from a poor life. And then she recalls how her life was taken away when her, I don't know what they call it, a paired unit, or, you know, just her partner, Oiler, ultimately died because they followed Optimus Prime. And then we have Jazz reflecting on his first trip to Earth, and he was actually in the first Autobot on Earth sent to scout the infiltration mission that the Decepticons were leading. And then Jazz is kind of alerted to the sounds outside of the battle, and he stands up. You know, his chains were not really holding him there, and he bursts through them and then tries to stop the fighting. Ultimately, in the fighting, Mainframe of G.I. Joe, not Mainframe of the Lost Light, he's mortally wounded, and as he's dying, he's recalling how he's blamed the Cybertronians, and now after getting to know some of them, he learns that they're just individuals, just like people. And then he dies and hoping that his, you know, his last words kind of help the Alliance not fall apart. At the end of all this, it's all kind of, the battle just kind of doesn't really mean anything, because at the end of it, Unicron appears in the skies over Earth, and that's how the book ends. So, I mean, the story itself, I think, was decent, but the art in this, I'm sorry, but the humans were not drawn well at all. I don't know about you guys, but the human designs just didn't work for me. The colors were great and kind of did give a sense of continuity in the title, but there were some of the expressions on the humans were just a bit too cartoony for what we've been getting in previous issues. Charles, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me, because Priscilla Tramontano did do the art on the Robots in Disguise tie-in comic. Robots in Disguise, the other Robots in Disguise, the 2015 cartoon tie-in comic. And there, those human designs, I think, worked well because they were tying in with the cartoon. And I think here...
Yeah, I mean, it's more of an animated, cartoony type look to it.
So, yeah, it's a weird contrast with the robot designs, which I think are pretty well done. I mean, I think I like Priscilla's style with the way she draws the robots. So, yeah, the human designs are just a little jarring. But, yeah, the robot designs and art is great. But, yeah, the humans, every time the humans show up, it's a little weird. The story, I mean, I kind of can see where, like, John Barber is kind of just, again, banging on this theme of war, just there's no good decisions in war, and things just escalate and get out of control quickly. And so that's, I mean, you basically see that throughout this book, and how everything, for everyone's perspective is different. And from they always, like, whoever.
The same event can be seen differently from different people.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's, you know, you get a little bit of tragedy here with you kill off Mainframe, and you kill off, was it Bump or... Which one was it? Gimlet or Bump? I forget which one who got killed.
Let me look at the cast list. Gimlet.
Okay. So
one of the colonists.
Yeah. So I mean, making that kind of having that theme of the story, I think, works. But the problem I have is that there's no beginning and end here. It's just kind of a middle chapter again, and it's like, We're just filling time until Unicron comes and brings the end of the world. And I wonder what the next issue is going to be, since the main event is in the Unicron miniseries. So I wonder what the next two issues of Optimus Prime are going to be. I think 25 is going to be kind of the final closing the door on the whole universe. So I guess that'll be a good wrap up. But 24 it'll be just another filler issue.
Well, yeah, and the wiki says that 24 is, where was that? I think this is now in line with Unicron, whatever the next issue is.
Here it is.
This issue takes place concurrently with Unicron number 4, which came out the same day, and then like the last Unicron 1-3 happened between last issue and this one. So,
and yeah, I mean, and again, this is the Optimus Prime comic, and Optimus shows up in flashbacks, and that's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, so this Optimus Prime is kind of, I mean, we've got the Unicron miniseries basically wrapping up the universe, so the Optimus Prime comic feels superfluous at this point.
Yoshi, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the elephant in the room is the art, so let's start with that. Priscilla's art does not fit the tonality of this book. The bar was set at a specific height with Keizama. Let's say the grittiness was set at a specific height, and Priscilla does not have gritty art. Her art is consistent. No, I don't like her people, the way she draws people, but I'm also not used to how she draws people, but it's consistent all the way through. Her art might have worked for Windblade, but it doesn't work for this just because it's not the right tone. And
her art is a little happier.
It is a little happier. And I wonder if this cover, if this issue would have benefited from a different colorist as a result. Because switching the artist and then keeping the colorist isn't fooling anybody. I mean, just full bore. Let's just try something new. It really does feel like, though, like, you know, with all these Transformers issues, as they're slowly killing off the cast, they also are pulling, like, you know, let every player on the field at least once. So I do applaud that they're letting Priscilla come in and draw an issue. But mm-hmm. it doesn't work for Optimus Prime. I think it would work for something else. Or if they had just changed the colorist also, it might have worked. But it was consistent from beginning to end, I felt. The story, broken record, Charles said a lot of it. Where the fuck is Optimus Prime and why hasn't he nutted up? You're killing off people that, one, everybody knows I don't give a shit. I don't care about. But also, everybody knows the Hasbro universe is getting reboot. So you killing off people, you really got to put your 120% in for us to give a flying fuck at this point. And they're not doing that. It screams at you with that last page and Unicron being there. Filler issue. And it sounds like the next issue isn't going to be much different. And, you know, whose fault is it? I mean, do they have a choice? Do they have to cram everything in the kitchen sink into every one of these last issues? Because, you know, the original game plan wasn't to end here. I don't know. It's frustrating. It sucks. And I'm just fucking, let's take the horse out back already.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that they did announce that everything is ending. So that kind of takes some weight out of the deaths, because, you know, okay, yeah, just they're going to die, but we're going to have everything rebooted in a few months.
I wonder why, like, a company, especially like IDW, who isn't mammoth, you know, why can't you guys try and buck the trend? Like, just pick a title. And maybe they are doing it with another title and we're just not paying close enough attention. But something like Transformers, why did you have to tell us it was coming to an end? Or I don't know, plan shit out so that you can take into account reader feedback a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all solicitations and that stuff.
I know, but also that's what I'm saying. Take a franchise and don't play by the rules. And what happens, I wonder? Mm-hmm. Does it underperform and undersell as a result of not having solutions? I don't know.
I mean, you recently had that Robert Kirkman book that just kind of dropped out of nowhere. Just 1 week it just showed up. And that, I mean, something like that where it's completely unexpected might be something that they need to kind of bump the sales.
I especially with this book, the title character is laughable. Like there's too much going on in the background behind closed doors that would justify what we're seeing here that we don't know about.
All right. Daryl, let's finish up with you.
What are your thoughts? I agree. The art wasn't the best this issue. But to be perfectly honest, the problems I had with the issue are more to do with the entirety of the series. I personally am not a huge fan of the Rekkar head. It bothers me that thing is still alive. What are the three things that a Transformer should need to live?
Rossum's Trinity, the Spark, the Brain Module, and the Transformation Cog.
Right. So apparently that's all located in Rekkar's head.
Well, he's not a Cybertronian. He's a Junkion, so maybe they're different somehow.
I guess. So either way, that bothers me that he's just a bowling ball being, you know, carried around throughout the series. The other part that kind of made it harder to follow is that, you know, seemingly every time a character started getting interacted with another character, that character's story took over for a page, and then another character's story took over for a page or whatever, and it just made it bounce around too much. And anyway, like Charles was saying, it's not really the best indication of what the story beats should be. Not my favorite issue. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, I think like the last thing I'll say, I didn't really notice before, but I think I noticed in my first reading, but that was a few weeks ago. Rummage is actually riding a Sharktacon. I think that's a nice visual, but I think we will wrap up the comic review from there. And we're now kind of at issue 24 for both of the main books and probably need to catch up on some Unicron. And that is our comic review.
All right. And then let's move on to some Transformers media news.
All right. In media news this week, Megatronus is joining Transformers Forge to fight. Look for the God Megatronus in Forge to Fight. We've got some Transformers animated concept art by Japanese designer Watanabe Yoshito. Sorry about the name pronunciation. In-hand first impressions of the trading card game, as well as a Bumblebee Legendary Warrior. A picture of the card, Bumblebee Legendary Warrior. Transformers Cyberverse is on episode 5, which is available on the Hasbro YouTube channel. So take a look at that. And there's a preview for Cyberverse episodes 6 to 8 on the Cartoon Network YouTube channel. So if you want a sneak peek ahead of what's coming up, take a look at that. And Bumblebee the movie, we've got some stuff coming up for that. We've got a trailer breakdown with director Travis Knight. You can take a look there. And also something that I found really interesting is a letter from Travis Knight that was included with a promo box of toys that was sent out to a bunch of people. We didn't get one, but somebody did, and they scanned the copy of the letter and put it up on a lot of the fan sites. So take a look at that. I found the letter to be really interesting and showed that he is trying to take great care with the franchise and make the story a lot more character-driven, which the previous movies have not been. And there's a brand new Transformers the Bumblebee movie website, which is up and live, as well as an article on Playboy.com, which is titled "Why the Bumblebee Buzz is Real," with quotes from Bumblebee superfan and Transformers comic colorist Josh Perez.
Yeah, so I actually saw this article. Josh shared it on Facebook, and the author, Ross O'Donovan, is a friend of his. So he actually just did a mini interview with Josh to get some quotes for the article. So giving Josh some spotlight as a, you know, the number one Bumblebee fan. We all know he's the number one Bumblebee fan.
Yeah, he is. I figured you'd had seen it in your subscription of Playboy.
Print is dead.
Yeah.
And I guess here's where we put in the joke that, you know, people actually do read one for the articles.
Anyway, that's it for media news this week.
All right, and let's finish up the show with some feedback.
Now, if any of you lovely listeners want to leave us feedback, head on over to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. There you have so many ways to let us know how you feel. So I encourage all of you to take advantage of all of them. Write out like a multi-page review and submit it to every one of those so that we get it in all kinds of formats and copies. But for this week, we're going to head on over to Patreon, where Skirt left us a message. Always happy to hear these comic retrospectives. Great job, all. And Charles being North American's McFeely equivalent is too accurate. Also dug that new declassified intro, Daryl. Props, Daryl.
Thanks.
You're welcome. But thanks, Skirt. Don't thank me.
It was good.
And thanks for the feedback, Skirt. I'm glad you enjoyed the latest declassified.
And that's it for feedback.
Since we're... Well, I have some feedback.
What the fuck are you... Okay.
Since we're running a little, you know, light on time...
How do you think I'm doing, Jeremy? Let's just start there. Let's just air grievances right now.
Well, this directly involves you. We had a story about first impressions of the trading card game, and you didn't pipe up saying, hey, you have some cards in hand, and I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well... they're beautiful. They're a lot prettier than any pictures I've seen online. And so that's a positive. And a negative is I got way too many duplicate character cards out of 30 packs that I opened. Mm. But the cards are quality. The art is really, really good. That part caught me completely off guard. So I was pleasantly surprised about that. But as they say, you need two to play, and I don't know anybody that's got cards here locally to me. So...
Bring them to TFCon.
Happily.
Well, while we're putting the spotlight on Yoshi, we also did a trailer reaction discussion last episode that Yoshi, unfortunately, was in the bathroom the whole time, so didn't get to give his thoughts.
Dude, the Pochino is real.
So, Yoshi, what did you think of the Bumblebee trailer?
Holy shit, it's Yoshi's corner. You know, it's, you know, if I combine my thoughts of the trailer with Travis Knight's letter, clearly the people behind this have a lot of love and respect for Transformers and the mythos. And that's coming across very, very clear. I really do think this will be the first live action Transformers movie that I enjoy the story. But I also feel like Travis's hands were probably tied on a lot of things. And I think being a G1 fan sitting through this movie, I'm going to have to give him a lot of gimmies for things that are out of place or slightly off or completely off. And I think that'll be easier to do since I do have faith that the story is going to be good.
All right. Well, I mean, given the weird state that the live action movies are in at this moment, I think, you know, Hollywood bets on success. So if the Bumblebee movie does well and they stick with Travis Knight for the next movie, whatever that may be, maybe there's a possibility to actually do a proper reboot and build on this Bumblebee success with, you know, something that departs even further from the Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Maybe they pull a Star Trek and spin off another timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the unfortunate part about having a pre-show chat. I blew my wad on this earlier today, but I encouraged by the letter, I would be in favor of a total reboot headed by Travis Knight.
Someone that actually knows what a Transformer is before he got the job.
Yes.
So I'm curious, that's your overall impressions. What did, like, when you watch the trailer, what, like, did you get spoiled ahead of time before you saw the trailer? And what was your impression of just seeing what they threw up there, the scenes they threw up there?
You know, I wasn't spoiled before the trailer came, before I sat down and watched the whole thing. I did think it comes off like it might actually have a good story attached to it for a change. And I felt like it wasn't, there was a lot of close-ups, and I'm not talking like close-ups of characters. Like, the cuts that they gave us were so tight and so tightly timed that the stuff I'm super gonna enjoy that they can't screw up, I don't think, like all the 80s world, I'm super excited to see that. You know, who's the main gal's name? I forget.
Charlie.
Either one.
Well, Haley Steinfeld.
We've seen this with Marvel movies where we're getting 20 years younger, 40 years younger Marvel characters digitally created very fucking well. And I wouldn't be surprised if this movie towards the end jumps to the present day and we get an older Haley Steinfeld looking CG produced, hard to tell it's CG look from her. I'm pretty excited to see that, but I can't imagine them screwing up outside the Transformers, the 80s world that they have to film in and be in. And I'm such a nostalgia nut that I'm super stoked for that. If everything sucks, I still think that part will be pretty neat. I feel like I'm not answering your question.
What'd you feel about the Cybertron scenes?
Giddy. I mean, who wouldn't feel giddy? It felt like a video game though. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's, I'm sure in the big scheme of things, we might have seen most of that already. I mean, that may be it for us G1 heads. But I'm okay with it being video gamey because I'm just stoked to see G1-esque Transformers. But I'm not holding hope that that scene is much longer than what we saw.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably reasonable.
And I hope I'm wrong because then I'll be pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the three of us, excluding Daryl, since we saw the 86 movie in the theater, there was a whole scene of the Bumblebee movie attached to that.
Yeah.
And there was the garage scene where, like, we see her in the trailer, like, pull up and then look under and then he transforms. And that had more kind of emotion and character, I feel, than the entire Bay movies.
All absolutely. But they also had to play cleanup from the Bay movies. If you notice, yeah. Like she had to be very specific. I'm 18. Like there was cleanup in it too. And there was a little bit of corny and there was a lot of emotion. You know, there's a story there. It hopefully is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like the aesthetic of Bumblebee fits inside that Volkswagen though. Like it's too unboxy, I guess. Maybe they'll do an homage to a G1 looking bot mode for Bumblebee at some point, just like they did with the other characters on Cybertron.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if we see a flashback or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wish, I hope that if they do even have his voice in a flashback or something, they get Damn Gilbazam.
And seriously, that would be a nice surprise. I'm also like, you know, he said in his letter he was a huge Bumblebee fan. And me personally growing up, I mean, I liked Bumblebee, but he wasn't my favorite toy or favorite character. And I don't know any of my friends who felt that way of him. I wonder how many people listen to this show want to let us know or just what you guys think. Like, I don't feel like, at least for our generation, Bumblebee was a leading character.
Well, I disagree with that because he was.
Fuck you.
I mean, he was.
Your opinion is wrong.
He was a focus of the show. I mean, he was the character that was paired with Spike a lot. Spike was the, you know, the point of view character for all the 80s kids. And so you got a lot of Bumblebee in the G1 cartoon. I think for a lot of kids, they would identify with Bumblebee. Also, he was one of the cheaper toys. So a lot of kids, you know, if you don't have a lot of money, you could get that toy and you know, that toy would go everywhere with you, fits in your pocket. So I can see that.
It was, or is he a favorite character of yours?
No, so he's not a favorite character of mine, but okay. I can see how other kids would, I mean, he was a character that I liked and enjoyed, but he was not my favorite, but I can see how he could be a favorite.
I guess that's the evolution of my question. Did Hasbro or DreamWorks or whatever just assume that they can see how this is a favorite character, so we need to base a movie off of him? Or is there a legitimate huge ass fucking fan base that expands beyond Josh Perez that are just fucking B-heads that I'm not aware of?
Well, yes, all the kids who watched the 2007 live action movie.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting tripped up, because I'm not one of those kids.
Well, yes, but, you know, they exist, and that audience is here.
A director. We have a director slash writer here who's saying this was his core character, and I'm just wondering how legit that statement is. Like, the only way I can find the answer to that is just to, like, take a poll here. Like, how many of us, like, fuck, I can't wait to wake up to play with Bumblebee or see a Bumblebee-centric episode in the morning. Like, that wasn't me.
Travis doesn't speak for everyone. He only speaks for himself. So,
right.
I mean,
and that's why I'm saying, I wonder what the legitimacy of that statement is.
Well, I mean, you can only judge that by giving Travis a lie detector test. I don't even if, you know, 1% of the fandom has Bumblebee as their favorite character, he could still be in that 1%. But
yeah,
that numbers game isn't going to have any bearing on whether or not he's lying.
Right. You know, he's not posted any photos on Twitter of him standing behind any G1 Bumblebee figures he has either. So, and I understand that position that he may be in, that he can't tell the whole truth. And I have faith that this is going to be an excellent story. I don't know how we got here, but I just don't see, I don't see how a person from our generation finds Bumblebee to be a key character. I don't. A loved character that was the one they played with. You're giving me absolute legitimate reasons, Charles. I just never met anybody that fits any of them.
And that's how you stretch out and add another 10 minutes.
We should. Yeah, you got me going. Like, Mike, we should have an episode where you just bleep out every swear word I say, because that'd be a funny episode.
Just bleep out, like, random words or sound.
All right. Well, I think that's enough of Yoshi's Corner.
Thanks for making me a focus today.
So I think we'll end it here. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Alt Mode this week. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Okay, recording.
Now I am recording.
Mark.
Yay.
Good job, everyone. All right. Alt mode. Welcome to...
Sorry. I'm so sorry. That was an accident.
Also, we have to bleep out your R word now.
That's fine.
Mike.
Whatever. I grew up in a generation where we said that. That's a good one, DJ Ronan. We should call it that, Charles. Bleep Yoshi's Corner. Fucking Yoshi's Corner.